Discover nature by design for a beautiful view. Snows knows how to make it all easy for you. When it comes to landscaping and gardening, who knows how to create the perfect scene? Snow knows. Snow's Garden Center.
Hello and good, beautiful Saturday morning to you. If you're from Oregon, you're loving this weather. Hey, you're listening to the Snow Nose Garden Show, brought to you by Snow's Garden Center, conveniently located on Avon Street. I'm Corbin Snow.
And I'm Norm Carlson.
And you're listening to the longest continuously running garden show in the world. We're glad to join you each and every Saturday morning here on WINA to answer your phone calls and take your gardening questions. Our number here, live in the WINA studios, is 977-1070. And just a few general public service announcements to get out of the way before we get started and underway. First, as just heard on the news, the Dogwood Parade, the one that's scheduled rain or shine, has been canceled. I guess torrential downpours is kind of the... You think of rain, you think... And I've been a part of the parade in a rain... In a gentle rain, and they typically will keep it open, and you know people show up with their umbrellas and ponchos, and you know it gets underway.
April showers are one thing, but right. Monsoons or something else.
So just
the
in case
would literally be floating.
Well, the great thing is, so we had a float or a truck. We enter our 1966. Short bed Chevy, a little antique truck, and I drove it home last night in preparation of driving it into the parade this morning after the show. But no one told me the windshield wipers didn't work.
They did,
yeah. So I drove the truck into the station this morning, and I'm sure everyone behind me and I was passing was wondering, you know, what in the world is going on with this guy? I was all over the road. I found one little spot about 2 inches in diameter that I was able to kind of focus on, that where the water was streaming off, you know, fast enough that I was able to keep the truck on the road. But yeah, I'll be driving that straight out to the garden center, parking that puppy until next week. Has anyone? Do they reschedule the parade? I would assume, or is it just done?
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe we could find out, because you know that's such a jewel. I love the parade. It's such a good time. I know so many people participate in it. We were numbered like 75 out of a total count of like 115 entries in the parade. So hopefully the show must go on. We'll find out when they're going to reschedule that. Also have a little public service announcement that the Historical Garden Week that was scheduled for today. Let me read this. Due to the heavy rains, Historic Garden Week at Morven will be closed, canceled today only, Saturday, April 16th. All events on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday will remain open as scheduled. Okay, so that's the Historic Garden Week events today at Morven will be closed or canceled. So if you were planning on attending that, do not go. It will be closed.
Yeah, it's really difficult for them to do anything out there, you know, in this kind of weather. Not only is it, you know, traipsing a lot of mud in and around everything, but it doesn't, you know, when it's this wet, it really does a number on the lawns and everything else. So, yeah, this kind of weather puts a damper on that, unfortunately. But hopefully, you know, things clear up tomorrow and Monday. You still have a opportunity to go out and see some beautiful gardens and be a part of Historic Garden Week. It's always
and that's just it. I mean, the weather looks awesome for Saturday. I mean, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and the next week. Right. You know, temperatures perfect, right in the mid upper 70s, lower 80s. So good weather is coming. You know what today would be a good day for, though? Coming out to Snow's Garden Center. We're going to be open. Come rain or shine or monsoon, typhoon, whatever it is, we are not closing today. Hurricanes, tornadoes, nothing will keep the doors, nothing will close the doors out of the garden center. So come out and see us today. I was thinking about offering some sort of special incentive. Like if you come out today, we'll give you a free a free hand tool that you can use in the garden. So we'll start with that. And if that doesn't get a few people out, maybe we'll have to up the ante a little bit. I was thinking about, well, I won't say what I was thinking about until we discuss it at the break. All right, so stay tuned for the big announcement coming up after the news. If you'd like to join the show, our number is 977-1070. Norman, there's got to be still things you can do in the rain.
Right.
Not per se, you know, out in the garden physically working, but there's still things you can do to be planning, preparing. It's a great time if you've had drainage issues in the past. With this much rain, with an inch or more of rain today, it's a great opportunity to kind of evaluate your drainage situation in and around your home. If you're having drainage problems in the basement, if you have water going in places you don't want it to go, if you have standing water against the foundation, now is a time to identify some of those problems you're having and take some pictures, make some notes, and then call the expert at Snows today or Monday and set up a free evaluation for someone to come and look at your drainage and water issues.
And it's a great opportunity to just look around out in the garden, you know, get out there, put a pair of boots on, grab an umbrella, and just take a walk around and see where the water, where and how the water is moving through the garden. And there's a lot that can be done to correct problems that you're having. This is a great, there's enough water moving that you can kind of see where it starts and how it flows and really identify the path that it takes through the garden. And then by knowing those kinds of things, you can really set up some really effective, inexpensive, easy solutions to deal with that water, get it away from the house, get it out of the problem areas, eliminate serious erosion that you may be experiencing. But this is a great time to get out there. Just take a quick walk around, and you're able to very easily identify how and where that water is moving so that you can then get a much better idea of some of the corrective measures that can be taken to eliminate issues.
If you'd like to join the show, give us a call at 977-1070. We have two phone lines open. Let's go to line number one. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Hi. I have a couple of questions. I planted some dogwoods and some Cleveland pear trees 2 years ago. And the Cleveland pear trees have grown really extra leggy and tall. And then they didn't do much as far as spring blooms. And then the dogwood trees, very little in the way of flowering also.
And that is normal for the first year that, you know, the first spring after they've been planted.
About 2 years. Yeah,
the first couple of years.
Yeah.
Typically, on any kind of newly planted shrub or tree like that, the majority of the energy and the effort that the plant is putting into growing is into root growth and replacing all any roots that were lost in being dug out of the field and getting transplanted into their new home. Even container plants, it takes them, you know, they put a lot of effort into getting roots out into that new soil that's all around the root ball, and that's kind of what they put their emphasis on. And the nutrients that the plant is using to develop that root system are the same kinds of nutrients that work towards producing flowers and fruits. So the first couple, even 3 years of growth, you really don't see a whole lot of flowering and shouldn't expect to. And that's perfectly normal. Once the plant is established in its new home, typically the third or fourth season, then you really start to see it come into its own for flowering and things like that. To help to encourage it a little bit and make sure that it's got everything that it needs, you can fertilize with a little bit of triple superphosphate, and that will make sure that you've got plenty of phosphorus in the soil. And that's what the root system and the blooms really need to develop properly. So making sure that there's plenty of that in the soil will help to make sure that the tree's got everything that it needs to get that good root system established, and then to start flowering as early in the growth cycle as possible.
I've put some halitone around them also. Is that is bad or good? Or
halitone is great. It's a really good organic based fertilizer. Feeds nice and gently over time, but doesn't have a tremendous amount of nutrient content. If you look at the three numbers that are on the bag, they're all in the single digits,
right?
which, you know, is very low as far as nutrient content. Does a great job at helping to add some organic matter and feed the soil microbes that are down there in the soil. But as far as, you know, having a good high nutrient load, something like the triple superphosphate or the Master Nursery Multipurpose is going to give you a little bit more bang for the buck, and give you a much higher concentration of nutrient.
I also have a bunch of wild dogwoods that look not very good, and we did a lot of dirt turning and moving driveways around here. Is there any way to make them, you know, kind of survive? Like, they look like they were damaged from the heat of the tractors and that kind of thing, and they broke some branches off them.
And you know, anytime you're disturbing the soil, you're impacting particularly the surface feeder roots that the plants have.
And again, some of the on top of around some of the trees, is that pretty much a goner now? Or
about how much did you add?
It's a slope, so basically the dirt on the high side of the slope is, you know, near the trunk of the tree. On the low side is still natural, but
okay,
it was a hill, so when they pushed the dirt down the hill, it caught up on the front sides of the wild dogwoods.
Yeah, anything that you can do to help reduce the amount of soil that's on that uphill side is going to be a big benefit. Something, you know, we really don't talk about very often, but can really be a very useful tool in scenarios like that, is to come in and create a what's called a tree well, where you actually go in on the uphill side and cut a semicircle into the slope above the tree, you know, back 3, 4, 5 feet, and then build up a small retaining wall in that area so that you're still able to get air and moisture and everything down to the root system on that upper side, and you're able to keep the soil and leaves and all that from accumulating on the actual trunk of the tree, and that helps to preserve trees that are in a situation like that where you've got to add soil on that uphill side. So that may be an option for you. And then just good general care, you know, fertilizing, making sure that they've got adequate moisture but not too much. You know, this spring that hadn't been a problem. But you know, just anything that you can do to help keep the tree in as optimum health as possible. Any of those broken branches, go ahead and remove those and take the broken stubs on back to a fork so that there's not a stob left where decay can get started. That'll go a long way toward keeping them as healthy as you possibly can.
When the one dogwood that seemed to have gotten damaged a lot this spring, it just like put leaves out all over the place, not necessarily, you know, on the trunk and different places like that, not on a branch. Does that mean something, you know?
It just means that it's feeling the effects, and it's under some stress.
Do you leave the leaves where they are, you know, wherever they come out, or is it better to take them off the trunk?
Yeah, if they're coming out right along the trunk and along the main, you know, heavy branches,
right,
it's a good idea, especially when they're nice and young like this. You can go in and just literally just rub them off, and because they're not going to produce desirable growth anyhow. So it's good to go ahead and remove them before the tree invests a lot of energy and a lot of time into producing that growth.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Great call.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wonderful questions. Thank you so much for calling in. If you'd like to join the show, our number is 977-1070. The phone lines are wide open.
That brings up a couple of really good points. Is it that, you know, anytime you're doing work around in the garden where you're changing elevations and making drastic additions or subtractions of soil, as you get close to trees, that's very detrimental to the root system of the tree. So anything that you can do to keep from adding additional soil around and over the root system of a tree is going to be a big benefit to the long-term health of the tree. You don't want to do any, you know, obviously anytime you remove soil, you're removing roots.
Right.
Which does a lot of damage. But adding soil on top can have the same effect. As you bury those roots, they need oxygen to survive, we don't think about it because they're buried. You know, think, yeah, it's buried in the ground.
Right.
What's it need oxygen? It's buried in the ground. You bury something, it smothers it to death. But there's pore space in the soil that those roots are able to absorb oxygen through. And the deeper as you add soil on top, it really reduces the amount of oxygen that gets down to the roots and will eventually kill off the roots if you add too much on there.
And the perfect example, you'll see a lot of developers, when they go into new subdivisions, they'll try to leave some of the real desirable trees that they want. But in the process of excavation and moving soil around, they'll pile that they'll kind of change the elevation of soil around the tree trunk and the roots. And, they'll finish developing the subdivision and they'll build 100 homes and everyone will be living there and everything's fine. The tree looks like it's doing okay. And then all of a sudden that tree will just kind of slowly start to deteriorate and die.
Right.
And that's direct results from a couple things, but the root zone, the roots being damaged or scarred, and then just too much soil being piled on them.
Right. And with oak trees, I mean, it can be 3 to 5 years down the line before you start to really see the symptoms. And then all of a sudden the tree starts dying.
Yeah.
What in the heck's going on?
Yeah.
Well, it's construction damage, but it just, it showed up.
It takes a little while.
Yeah. But, there's anything that you can do to keep the root system, the root zone around the tree as undisturbed as you can is going to really benefit you in the long run, keep that tree much, much healthier. And it's, like I say, it's not just keeping from digging up around the root zone, but keeping traffic off of it, keeping soil off of it. You don't want to pile soil up on top of it. 1 or 2 inches is not going to have that much of an effect, but once you get up into 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 inches of soil, the deeper it gets, the more traumatic it is for the plant. So it really is important to preserve that root zone as pristine as you can. And remember, the root zone goes out at least as far as the branches. If you've got trees that have been kind of up in a woodland scenario and they're now exposed, you've taken down some of the other ones, that the trees in a woodland setting tend to be much more upright and have a much tighter canopy than they normally would out in, when they're open in a field. But the root zone tends to still expand out. So it may be 2 to 3 times as wide as the canopy. And that outer perimeter is where the real work of the root system is done. That's where the real workhorse roots are. So again, anything that you can do to keep those areas from being disturbed, keep them from having soil piled up on them is going to be a big benefit. And if it's a scenario where you can't, you really don't have a choice, there are things that you can do. You can work in some of those tree wells. And again, work back as far away from the trunk as you can, and then build a retaining wall, kind of in a semicircle to help keep that soil off of there. You can also put in some dry wells going down that allow air and water to get down into that lower zone. It takes some work, but there are some things that you can do to help to keep the trees as healthy as possible.
On that note, talking about keeping trees as healthy as possible, I was doing a little research yesterday, just reading some labels and fine print on some of the broadleaf weed applications and things that we put on our lawns this time of year. And one of the things that it really talked about and mentioned to keep your trees happy and healthy was not to do a real heavy soil drench around the tree drip, the drip zone of the trees, that can cause negative effects and impacts on the tree. And it said when you get into those areas of the lawn, of the turf, where you're applying broadleaf weed killers and crabgrass weed killer, to do more of a selective spray. So you would just kind of selectively go through the grass and look for the weeds instead of just doing a general, all-purpose application. Just be a little bit more selective, be a little bit more cautious and careful in those areas.
Do smart bombing instead of carpet bombing.
Yeah. and that's a good general rule to follow regardless. Maybe that first application, you need to be more broad with it and get it everywhere. But as you do the supplemental spraying, the second and third applications, that's where you can get more into an integrated pest management, an IPM control where you're where you're just going and selectively spraying the things that weren't directly targeted the first application.
Right, rather than taking the hose end sprayer out there and just spraying everything, mix it up in a tank sprayer, and you're able to go through and just and that's all it takes.
Yep.
And you know it greatly reduces the amount of product that you use and reduces the impact on the environment, and you know it's cheaper.
Yeah.
You know, as far as you know, the amount of product that you're using and everything else, and you can get equally good results.
Great. You're listening to the Snow Nose Garden Show on AM 1070. We've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Singing, singing in the rain.
And good morning and welcome back to the Snow Nose Garden Show. You just can't let this weather get you down. You know it?
Nope.
It's beautiful outside. I'm going to go sing in the rain. Sing in the garden, sing in the rain. It's a beautiful day. Thank you for listening and joining us on the Snow Nose Garden Show. I'm Corbin Snow, the Minister of Mulche.
And I'm Norm Carlson.
The Doctor of Dirt, or the Professor of Plants. He wears two hats when it comes to his knowledge and expertise. And if you'd like to put it to the test, give us a call at 977-1070. I had someone email me a question and a photo this week, and I passed that photo along to you. But it was a photo of a tree that was oozing and decaying, and we responded back and told him it looked like wood decay in the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And when I responded to him, I said, "Come on, that was too easy. You can do better. You can do better than that." And I'm not telling you, if there's ever a problem or question or a photo or a sample of something you bring into the garden center, by the time it makes it around to Norman, myself, Dwayne, Scott, Donna, you've got about 250 years of expertise and knowledge looking at that problem, and we always come up with a solution. A lady brought in this sample of a just a real small portion of a flowering tree, and there are just hundreds of flowering trees and fruit trees this time of year, and just a little twig is all she brought in, and it made it around the office, that little loop I was just describing. And within minutes, we had, you know, we knew exactly which tree it was, and, you know, was able to give her some advice and information. So we always welcome that challenge here at Snow's Garden Center to call us on the radio show and challenge us with a question. If there's something that looks funny out there in the garden, if there's any problems you're having, give us a call at 977-1070. Or, as always, feel free to bring in your problems to the garden center. Just plant problems. Those are the only problems we take.
But that being said, the best thing that you can do is get us a good sample.
Yeah.
In a scenario like
and
that.
And the larger, really, the better.
Right. I mean, it really helped being able to look at it. We had somebody come in it was last week and was asking us about a particular plant that was grown in a particular location in town, had certain set of characteristics, and Donna and I are sitting there scratching our heads trying to think, what in the world could that possibly be? And we just, you know, came up with a complete and total blank.
Yeah.
But about a day or so later, I was walking around outside, and I looked over at the viburnums, and I said, I bet that's what she was talking about.
It doesn't click until you can visualize and see it.
That's right. Well, and you know, as you're describing things, it's so hard.
Right.
To, you know, it's so hard to.
Well, it's such a broad description, right. and you're, it's hard to narrow it down.
Right. And you know, there's so many possibilities that it could be as you're trying to narrow it down in your head. Is it, you know, what in the world could this possibly be? So, Diane, if you're listening, I think it was sounds like it was a Birkwood type viburnum that you were seeing over there, but that's more than likely what it was.
Yeah.
As we got thinking about it later on, but you know, sometimes that process of describing, it's really hard to be as accurate as you need to be, and some things it becomes very obvious.
Yeah.
But, you know, very quickly. But other things, it's really hard. We had somebody that was in earlier in the week was trying to describe this tree that they had seen bloomed white flowers late in the spring, kind of like a dogwood, but it wasn't a dogwood. And I said, well, you know, what could, you know, what blooms like a dogwood, has flowers like a dogwood, but it's not a dogwood? I said, well, maybe it was a coosa dogwood. Yeah, but it's not a dogwood.
Right.
But then as we got looking and...
But the coosas don't look like a traditional dogwood.
Researching it a little bit more, it ended up, you know, it was a coosa dogwood, which is, you know, it's not a dogwood like the traditional dogwoods that we think about, but it's in that same family. And, you know, it took a little bit of back and forth and really narrowing it down and finding some pictures and everything before we finally settled on it that, you know, that's what in fact it was. But, you know, it's always a challenge trying to go off of descriptions and things like that. So anything that you can bring in, is a big help. Even if it's a twig, doesn't even have a whole lot of leaves on it. A lot of times we can go by the bark and the structure of the
and like I was saying, almost the bigger the sample you can bring in, the better. Not to bring in the whole, you know.
Yeah, you don't have to dig up the whole thing and bring it in.
Whole 40-foot tree on the back of a flatbed trailer. But, you know, the bigger, the easier it is to identify, especially, you know, some of the characteristics of the bark and things like that when it comes to plant and tree identification. Want to remind everyone, first of all, if you'd like to join the show once again, we had a caller. I think we lost you. Our number is 977-1070. Want to remind all you listeners about a wonderful event going on at the Garden Center on Saturday, May 14th. Mark your calendar. That's just a few short weeks away. It's the first annual Charlottesville Go Green Festival, and that's sponsored by Snow's Garden Center and Dixon Disposal. I'd like to thank Dixon Disposal for joining us and partnering with us to host and put on this great eco fair to raise awareness about how you can go green. Visit the website, SevilleGoGreenFest.com, for more information. Just to give you a little lowdown on what's going to be happening that day, the events are all going to be at the Garden Center. It's going to be a community event. There's going to be different contests, music, face painting. Local green businesses will be there representing their services or products. We'll have a moon bounce. We'll have games, food, free food. Everything's free. Whether you're coming as an exhibitor, or just coming to partake in the festivities, everything is free. 100% free. I'll be grilling some hot dogs down on the Snow's Grill down by the pond in the back. So everyone, again, mark your calendar and schedules. That's Saturday, May 14th, the first annual Seville Go Green Fest. At Snow's Garden Center, Z95 will be there broadcasting live. We'll be doing the radio show live from the Garden Center that morning as well.
That's right.
We'll have lots of giveaways. It's going to be a fantastic day. Just had confirmation, a new business that just moved to Charlottesville. It's called Kona Ice. And they've got a really, really cool shaved ice business. And the concept is they travel to different events, birthdays. But this, it looks like a traveling Hawaiian little hut, like a little Hawaiian hut, a little beach hut on wheels. It's a brand new vehicle. It's a big Ford truck, and it's got the little tiki hut built onto the back. And they're going to be there all day from 10 to 2. So mark your calendars. Again, that's the Seville Go Green Fest. Visit us online at SevilleGoGreenFest.com. And I didn't mention that we're giving away over $1,000 in prizes for the flag contest. And you can get more information on the flag contest and how to participate and submit your flags online. Again, SevilleGoGreenFest.com, or you can visit and link directly from SnowNose.com. Let's go back to line number one. Good morning.
Good morning. Enjoying this rainy day as a gardener.
Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it?
My question to you, do you have any moderately toxic ways to deal with chickweed in perennial beds and vegetable gardens where you can't spray the broadleaf stuff around everywhere? I've been relying on Muscle for many years,
yeah.
But it's losing.
Right. There's... Yeah, you know, in beds like that, your options are fairly limited. And as far as, you know, controlling, you know, doing any kind of post-emergent control on broadleaf weeds in general in the organic range, your options are very, very limited. particularly if you want to be selective. There are a couple products like Burnout that you can use, but they're not selective. They kill everything. They're,
it's kind of like a. Are you familiar with Burnout?
I am. I've heard about it. I mean, it's one of these things that tends to travel.
And yeah, so, it's like a Roundup product, so whatever you spray it on, it's going to kill. But if you can go through with like a small little wand backpack sprayer or pump-up sprayer and selectively apply it to each, you know, little weed, you could get control. But you couldn't just generally broadcast it.
Winter or February, I mean, it's demoralizing when the chickweed blooms in January and February when I'm not paying attention to my weeding.
Right. And really the time to control that is in the early fall.
Oh.
In October, you can come into your perennial beds. There's a product called, there's actually a couple of them that are organic weed preventers. One that's marketed primarily for lawns by Jonathan Green. Another one from Concern that's marketed in a couple of different sizes, a big one for lawns and a smaller one for beds that will help to prevent germination on a lot of the weeds. Won't get all of them. But it does get quite a few, including crabgrass.
So that's a corn gluten type thing.
Right.
Prevents germination. Okay.
Right.
Well, good to know that fall is the time. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's when a lot of these cool weather weeds like your henbit and chickweed and all of that are really coming up and starting to do their thing. We think about them as coming up in the spring because that's when they really explode and get big and kind of take over. But they actually germinate in the early fall mid to late October. And if you want to go at them from a pre-emergent standpoint, that's the time to put the product down is first part of October, and then you'll be able to go a long way toward keeping them from ever being a problem.
Sounds good to me. Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you so much for calling. We've got to take a quick break. You're listening to the Snow Nose Garden Show on AM 1070. We'll be right back. Blame It on the Rain. That's taking it back to the 80s. You guys remember that song?
Oh, yeah.
That was Milli Vanilli, the lip sync Meisters.
King.
Yeah. Oh, man. Blame It on the Rain. That's what I got to say today. Canceling anything and everything around town today. All the events associated with the Dogwood Parade have been canceled. The garden tour at Morven Farm has been canceled. And we're blaming it on the rain. But Snow's Garden Center is open, and so we can generate some sort of business today because it is going to be dead out there. I mean, it's just it's hard to really incentivize people to come out to a garden center in a monsoon-like setting. So I'm going to try to do my best to see if I can motivate a few listeners. This is a WINA exclusive deal to the listeners of this show. So, you know, there's a couple 10,000 of you or so listening this morning. This deal, you've got to go to the garden center today only in the rain, and maybe you'll catch a little break. Maybe, you know, it'll be gorgeous the latter half of the day. We're open till 5. But if you go out to the garden center today and you've got to say, blame it on the rain, I want the blame it on the rain discount today, we're going to give you 15% off your purchase. That's whatever you purchase, whether it be a grill, anything in our birding section of the store, mulch, topsoil. And we've got topsoil. It's covered and dry. I don't know if you'd want to haul it today, but that's on trees, flowering trees, shrubs, annuals, perennials, houseplants, anything and everything that we sell, pottery, benches, furniture. This is a one-day rain special. 15% off, and that special ends today at 5 p.m. So everyone at the Garden Center will be on standby of the special rain discount, and hope you stop by and take advantage of that. Bring an umbrella, bring your rain boots, and see if you can have some fun out there in the garden.
That's right.
That's all you can do, you know? Take those lemons and try to make something good out of it.
That's right. It's still a good opportunity if you don't
mind.
At
least it's not cold.
That's right.
There we go.
We're
finding all the positives, Norman. And, you know, it really does give us kind of rain insurance as far as being in a drought situation later in the summer. With the rain totals we're expecting today, we'll actually be out of any deficit that we had occurred year to date and be back in the positive. So that's always a good thing, especially since we were in such a deficit coming out of winter.
Right. Yeah, we really didn't get the moisture in January and February that we normally do, but we're making up for it in March and April.
I'm thinking positive,
That's right.
If you'd like to join the show, the phone lines are wide open. Again, our number is 977-1070. If you'd like to call, we'll put you right on the air.
That's right.
I know last night in your little segment with CBS 19 News, you talked about a few of the some of the new plant introductions we have that are really popular. And then we've got some really cool and interesting and different shrubs that have been introduced this year.
Right. And I kind of talked about the two that I had on that I brought into the studio. One was kind of it's been around for a while,
yeah.
But it's one of those that may be kind of new to you kind of plants.
Mm-hmm.
And another that is pretty new to the market, was just introduced. We were able to get it for the first time late last fall and have got a good supply of them in again for this spring. But the one that's kind of new to you, because a lot of people aren't real familiar with it, is the X-berry azalea.
Yeah.
It's a variety of azalea that's a little bit different from the typical ones that you see planted all over the place, you know, the kind that line the bypass and all of that, in that it's a deciduous azalea. It loses its leaves in the mm-hmm. wintertime, can take more direct sun, much
right.
more direct sun than a traditional azalea. So you can put it out into a sunny-type scenario. Gets a little bit bigger. They get about 6 feet tall by about 4 feet wide. But some of the colors that you're able to get with the X-berries, you just don't get in mm-hmm. a traditional azalea. The X-berries, you can get them in bright
orange.
I mean, orange,
yeah.
orange,
yeah.
Not the kind of weird orange that...
And there's not too many things flowering orange out in the garden.
That's right. But this is it's a true orange, you know, orange like an orange.
Right.
Orange. And also are deep, vibrant, bright, golden yellow.
Yeah.
That, you know, there's no way to get that in a conventional azalea. And you also get some, you know, some darker oranges and some pinks and whites.
The cerise is really beautiful.
But, you know, it's they're a great plant. Again, one of those ones that probably is a little underutilized in the garden. They've been around, but a lot of people don't really know about them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a great option for getting a little bit of splash of color and get that azalea feel into a full sun type scenario. Beautiful, beautiful plants.
Let's go to the phone lines, and then we'll come back and talk about a few more new introductions we have in the garden center. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Good morning, John calling. How are you gentlemen today?
Wonderful. How are you?
Well, I'm good. I'm sitting here at the entrance of Fox Field, so I'll retain this signal, just enjoying the view.
Oh, Fox Field isn't today, is it?
No, but I'm sitting here looking at the sign that says April 30th.
Yeah, that's coming up just a few few short weeks. Hopefully we won't have weather like this on April 30th.
That's the truth. Well, I just pulled off because I could lose the signal along through here.
Yeah, gotcha.
I had a question regarding chickweed. I know you've discussed it somewhat.
Yeah.
In reading the label, it suggests you should mow. I've got a period that's getting out of control. It suggests you should mow and then not before a rain. So I mowed yesterday to beat this rain, but
yeah.
I was thinking that perhaps tomorrow, if this weather does as they say,
yeah.
it's windy and dries out, that would be the time to apply it and try to beat the next rain, incoming rain, whenever that is, probably shortly. But I thought perhaps I should wait a couple of days for the soil to dry out more. I'm just looking for a suggestion there.
Right. Yeah, the amount of moisture in the soil really isn't going to be that much of an issue.
Okay.
You know, you want to have some moisture in the soil. It's not a good idea to apply that kind of a product when it's real, real bone dry. Because
well,
you
that
can,
is
you
my
can,
problem.
Yeah, because you can in cause some turf injury. But, you know, if the soil is, you know, really moist, even saturated, it's not going to hurt anything.
Yeah, the most important factor would be that the the weed or the leaf of the grass or wherever you're applying it isn't, you know, torrentially wet.
Okay. As they say, it should possibly
exactly.
be dry enough to make an application.
Right. Yeah, you might want to hold off until, you know, early afternoon tomorrow,
yes.
let things dry just a little bit. But
sure.
as soon as that leaf tissue is dry, it'd be totally safe to go ahead and spray it.
The other thing that you do want to watch out for, though, is if the wind is up and,
yeah.
and blowing, that's a time when you really do need to be very, very cautious about
yeah.
about applying those kinds of products, because you can get a lot of drift, and that spray mist can get picked up by the wind and blown over onto some of the desirable plants. Generally, is not enough to kill them, but
yeah.
it can do some damage to to some of the desirable shrubs, and especially herbaceous material like perennials
mm-hmm.
and things like
mm-hmm.
that can really get injured by some of that spray drift.
Wonderful. I appreciate your assistance, and you gentlemen have a great day.
Great.
Hey, you too. Enjoy
right.
this rain, and hopefully things
bye-bye.
Will clear off and be great conditions for spraying.
We're just about out of time. Just want to remind people of the 15% rain discount. That's today only out at Snow's Garden Center. We're located just south of downtown Charlottesville at 1875 Avon Street. Plug that coordinates into your GPS or just get to downtown Charlottesville and head south on Avon Street. We'll be on your left-hand side. We have a gorgeous nursery, and you can still enjoy it in this rain. Strap on a rain jacket or bring your umbrella and your rain boots and come out and see what we have in stock. I guarantee you won't be fighting large crowds today if you come
nope.
out today. And there won't be lines to wait in the register. So, if you're like me, I'm the kind of person that goes to King's Dominion on a day like this, you know. you got to look for the positive.
That's
and,
right.
and you can enjoy 15% off anything you purchase today only at Snow's Garden Center. That's 15% off your entire purchase.
And we've got some beautiful new hanging baskets, Easter lilies,
tomatoes,
shrubs,
vegetables,
annuals, all that just came in yesterday. They're beautiful, beautiful fresh stock. The sky's the limit on what you can create.
Be sure to mention the rain discount as heard here only on the Snow Nose Garden Show. Visit us online at snownose.com. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can order your mulch and hardscape materials to use in the garden. We're out of time. We'll see you next week on the Snow Nose Garden Show.